fun. I want to just say this. How many of you enjoyed that worship service this morning? How amazing was that? Well, you know, Danielle never likes anybody to know anything about her, but that doxology song that we praise and all those extra verses, she wrote them. What I'm talking about. A Holy Ghost led, powerful, led us straight into everything that happens. So praise God for the people that we have that give their time and effort and energy and talent as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. They get a large reward, and they have lots of testimonies to prove it, as we all do. How many of you have a testimony that could praise the name of the Lord? Yes. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, so I want to take a moment to thank all of you who gave to me on my birthday. I know we had such an amazing service last week that, you know, we interrupted the happy birthday to me, which I was happy for that to be interrupted by the power and presence of God. But you guys gave me cards and wrote them, and I got such beautiful words of encouragement, and I thank you so much. And you gave to me monetarily, which I totally appreciate, and I'm always amazed at your generosity. And so I know many pastors that never get an offering like that. That don't get an offering at all above what they get paid. And so I thank you, Liberty, for being generous people and for honoring me for what I get to do in pastoring you. And so I love you all, and I want to appreciate you all. But who do we love the most? All right, just to secure that. All right. So we've been in a series on the faithfulness of the Trinity. So we've talked about the faithfulness of God, and we know that he has made an eternal commitment to us. For he made us an eternal commitment that he's going to be more than enough. Now, if that was the only thing that he gave us, he is worth our praise. But he also said he'd be faithful to all of his promises. Every single promise in the book is ours. Say, it's mine. Mine. Yeah. And he was faithful to provide a way so that we could be conjoined with him again, together as one, through his own son, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And so that's just the tip of the iceberg of everything that God is, but it is a big deal, isn't it? And so we are living proof of who he is. Look at somebody and say, you're living proof of who he is. Because you're affecting other people's lives by the way you know him. And so if he did something for you, I mean, Justin taught us. He taught us that he accepts us in every way and that he invites us to partner with him along our journey. It wasn't that good. Pharaoh and his compassionate heart, when he came back from his trip, and today he was just talking about Jesus and having compassion on the people that are hurting and bringing forth miracles. That's pretty important, don't you think? Living proof that our God is still alive. That the price he gave is still effective. Amen? And so the faithful intercessors, you know, I don't think they get enough appreciation. We have intercessors that pray all the time for all of you, for all your needs. And so I am so grateful. There are churches that don't even have prayer times. I can't even believe it, but it's true. And we have opportunities 3 times a week for you, and I hope you're taking opportunities every day of the week for him. And so we have forever changed, excited people because of the Father and because of the Son. And so we joined the youth on Friday night. It was great. Anybody who desired to come. And there was deep worship. There was a little bit of preaching. There was a little bit of prophesying. There was a lot of praying for them as they go back to school. And I want you to know something else. There was a salvation. So you know, this young man, I prophesied to him. I checked back, you know, around. I don't know if I freak people out when I do that. So I went back around and I said, you know, did you receive the word of the Lord? And he said, yes, I did. And I said, well, I just want to make sure, you know, do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? And he goes, well, yes, I do. And I go, well, when did you have that wonderful experience? And he goes, tonight. Hallelujah. So we had an altar call, and evidently he gave his heart to the Lord. And so praise God for the body of Christ, being the body of Christ that can bring people close and near to our Lord Jesus Christ and transform their life. And so then I happened to go to Macy's this week. And I didn't know why I was there. Actually, it was a mistake that I was there, because I thought I was returning something there, and it actually came from Walmart. Now, only I could do these things. And so, it was so bad. So it was heavy, this thing. And, you know, I don't carry heavy things. I'm me. And so, I found this girl that was just going in. I said, do you work here? And she goes, I do. And I said, well, that is great. Would you help me? And she goes, yes, I will. I go, I can't carry this all the way upstairs, which is where I thought it'd have to be. And she goes, oh, I'll be glad to carry it for you. You just wait right here, and I'll be right back, and I'm going to help you. And I go, that is amazing. And so so she carries this thing. She drags it all the way to where we need to go. And they're like, well, do you have the? I go, nothing came in the box with the receipt. I don't understand where the receipt is. I go, but I'm sure it's on my email. Let me look it up in my email. I couldn't find nothing. And I'm like, there must be, this is a mystery that must be solved. That's there. Okay, no problem. Take your time. And then I looked in my email, and lo and behold, Walmart was thanking me for my purchase. I go, well, the mystery is solved. So the girl goes, no problem whatsoever. I'll walk you back to your car. Jesus loves me, this I know. And so I said, okay, God, there must be a reason for this. I'm really not that dumb. And so I said, what's going on? And so I said, Asia, thank you for helping me. I don't think this is an accident, really. I said, I just want to ask you this question. Like, is there something I can pray for you for? And she said, she actually said this, in case you want to know if something is different in the atmosphere. Yes, I'm looking to understand my journey with God. I said, I am your woman. I said, this is my specialty right here, right now. And I said, so do you know about this Jesus Christ? And she goes, I know a little bit of him. I said, well, that's nice. I'm glad you know a little bit of him, but I want to introduce you to him personally so you can know him. He's alive and he lives in me, and you can have him live in you. And she goes, really? And I said, honest. And I said, would you like me to pray with you right now so that you can have a transformed life and get to know him? And she said, yes, I would. And I said, thank you, God, that I'm at Macy's and not Walmart. You know? And so I led her to the Lord in the parking lot of Macy's. Don't tell me God isn't on the job. We just had, he's ordered our steps. And so don't get mad. Get smart and do what he's called us to do. Amen? Okay, so I'm just telling you, he's doing unusual things, and people are hungry for God. Take the opportunity. And so Asia is going to get a very good, you know, send to the manager of how awesome she is, and she's going to know the Lord. And so I invited her to church, of course. And so, but even if she doesn't come here, she knows Jesus today. Amen? Okay, so we talked about the faithfulness of Jesus. We know that Jesus was faithful from the beginning. He knew what he was going to come to earth to do. And he was faithful to come to earth. He's faithful to the Father. He was faithful to do everything that the Father told him to do, no matter what he told him to do. And he didn't do one thing without the Father. If Jesus was faithful to the Father, and he is our representative, we have to be faithful to the Father. Amen? He was faithful to show us the heart of the Father and to reconcile us to him. I mean, that is the biggest deal. The biggest deal in all of the world is that Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father. And so I'll read you the scripture, and then I'll move on, but Hebrews 1:3. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outreying radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Just remember this as I keep teaching today. Jesus is the very perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. If you want to know what God is like, it's found through watching what Jesus does. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. And when he, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down on the right hand of the divine majesty on high. That is our Savior, and that is what he has done for us and for everyone that we prayed for today, that is coming to know him, that is joining him in this journey. He has offered it to us. Jesus was faithful to go to the cross and shed his blood and take all of the pain. I always am in awe of him, no matter how many times I praise him for it. I can never get over it, that he was willing to do all of that for me. Do you know how personal it is? If I was the only one in the world, he would have still done it. If you were the only one in the world, he would have still gave his life. He would have still took all those stripes for your healing. He would have reconciled you to the Father on purpose. But it isn't just for one, it's for everyone. It's for everyone. And so God raised him up from the dead, glory to God, and he made us sons and daughters, and he invited us in, and Jesus rose again. Aren't you happy he rose again? And when he rose again, he was faithful to display his Father. That's what he did, and he was the firstborn over all creation. So I want to continue today by talking about this. Jesus was faithful to teach as no one else. Jesus is the greatest teacher that ever lived, and he taught his disciples, and he's still teaching us today. And he's teaching us differently than we expect him to. So Matthew 7:29 says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, what you have to know is the scribes are sect of the religious leaders of the day, and they were teaching the law. It was what they knew to do. They were teaching the law. But they were teaching the law, and it was tradition. They were teaching the law, and it didn't have the power to back them because Jesus hadn't paid the price yet. And so they are just going through the motions, you know, like sometimes people do at church. Just tradition. Just coming because you're supposed to come, having a check mark, you know, raising your hand if we make you, you know, all of that. But Jesus came in and he started to teach. And when he taught, there was something so different about them that everyone knew it. This authority means, it means force. He was teaching with the force of heaven. He wasn't just saying words. The atmosphere was changing. He brought freedom to the room. We experienced freedom here. How many of you know there was freedom in the room today? Why? Because we're lifting up the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They show up and they bring freedom. But before we could do that, he did it for us. He showed us how that there was a difference when he was in operation of teaching, because he was operating with jurisdiction. He was in order under his Father. He had the strength of his dad. He had the power to influence and to command and to change thinking and to change opinions and behaviors by his very words coming alive. And so the secret of Jesus' authority is that he understood the kingdom of God and how it operated. He was attached to his father, but he also was attached to the kingdom. But he did this as man. I think we always just think of Jesus as the Son of God. But he is the Son of God. But he came as the Son of Man. And so his attachment and his communion with his Father is what kept him in the authority that he needed to operate in order to bring change that was needed so that they could see and the kingdom of God being demonstrated so that they could have hope that they could be walking in it also. Okay, you're not getting it yet, but you will. So he represented the will of the Father at all times. He did. And so he thought the way the Father thought. He did things the way the Father would do them. He brought literal heaven's operations to be able to be operating also on earth. Well, he's Jesus. Yes, he's Jesus. And guess who he made us to be? Like him. Amen. And so if we tap into the reality of this, we will no longer operate the way we've been operating. People say, well, I don't understand why this isn't happening in my life. I don't understand why my prayers are not being... Well, you have availability of authority that you're not fully utilizing. That's all. We just need to change how we think and how we act. And so... the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How many of you have heard that scripture before? Right? Most of us. But how many of you operate in the mind of Christ? Because if we're operating in the mind of Christ, we're operating in authority. You see, we're not struggling to have authority. Because if we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of the Father. If we have the mind of the Father, we have the mind of the kingdom. If we start saying things the way that they would say them, we start believing things the way that they believe it. We grab a hold of that which is not looking like it's available to us by faith. And we bring it to earth and we begin to operate in it and we begin to release it. And people get saved and healed and delivered because we have authority and we are representing the Father properly. Amen. Amen. And so we can speak with the same authority as Jesus spoke, and we can bring forth the same things that Jesus did. In fact, he said, greater things are we going to do because I go to my Father. Okay, so he knew that he was making it available to us. He knew he was delivering revelatory truths on earth about the Father, about us. And so if we read the word, I just love the word. So sometimes I just feel like I have to hug it and have it close to me. If we actually believe it, if these words are real, if Jesus really came, if he really gave his life for me, if he really did everything he said that he did for me and for you, then we can partake of it and say, I get to do this too. This is my inheritance. Whatever Jesus did, I can do. And we don't do it because we're afraid it's not going to work. But did you get saved? Well, isn't it ridiculous how you got saved? You believed an impossible thing. You believed some crazy preacher or somebody who went to Macy's wrongly, and you believed what they had to say, and you believed that Jesus made a sacrifice for you and that he covered your sins, and you said a prayer that you meant with all of your heart, and he came in, and what happened to your life? He transformed you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what happened. Isn't that ridiculous in the natural? Yeah. But then we go, but hey, he said I could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. He said I could raise the dead. He said that I could cast out demons, except for that seems a little bit ridiculous. Well, it's the same God with the same power, and he's given you the same authority. If we just get built up in who we are in God, we will start acting like he came to give us opportunity to be. Amen? Okay, so he was faithful to demonstrate, well, what does the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? What does it look like? Jesus, the pure demonstration of what the kingdom of God looks like, feels like, operates like. You know, we don't understand it, so we don't operate in it. But we can understand it, and we're going to operate in it. Okay, so Jesus had the ability to teach them. They said, who is this man who teaches with authority? They recognize it. They didn't like it, but he was faithful to teach with authority, and you couldn't take the authority away. He was walking in the authority of heaven because he was continually attached to the Father. And so he had the ability to teach them in love, and he also had the ability to rebuke them when they needed it. Well, you know, God is love, and he only says the nice things. And yeah, God is love. But he will get you out of something that is going to destroy you, and he will do it by speaking to it. And so he's called us to have the same authority. He's called us to walk in the understanding that if your brother is or sister is dying or doing something that can cause them to be destructive, you have the authority, not only in prayer, but sometimes he asks you to confront it with truth because he changed things when he came. Moses taught the law, but Jesus taught mercy and truth. Okay, so he called people out. Now, remember Peter. I love Peter because, you know, we can all relate to Peter. So remember when God told Jesus told him, you know, you're getting the keys of the kingdom because you had a revelation. And that revelation didn't come on your own. That revelation came from my Father. And you recognize that I am the Son of the living God. You recognize me as the Christ. And upon that revelation, upon that announcement, God is going to build his church and the keys of the kingdom are going to be given to you. And then Peter tries to talk him out of going to Jerusalem, and he turns around to Peter, loving him just as much as he did a minute before when he told him he was awesome. And he goes, get behind me, Satan. Oh, but we don't like that. We don't like the authority when someone uses the authority of God to set us straight from what the deception of the enemy. But we need both. How many of you know we need both? We need both. He was going down the wrong road. He's trying to protect Jesus from going to the cross. Well, Jesus came here to go to the cross. And so even though you might have good intentions, you might need somebody with authority to say, I know you think you're going the right way, except for you need to turn around, because that is not from God. Amen? Amen? And so he was faithful to tell us the truth, whether we like it or whether we don't. He lived it out for us so that we would know that when he comes to us and he deals with our heart or he has to adjust something in our life, he is for us. He is not against us. Peter ended up being Peter. We all know about Peter. Peter was the one on the day of Pentecost who got up and said, oh, I know, I got another revelation. This is that. This is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He was connecting with heaven. He was full of the Holy. He was no longer going to turn back, bold and strong, and stayed that all the days of his life, willing to lay down his life because he had received what he needed from Jesus. He received the authority, and he took the rebuke, which gave him ability to stay in authority. So where did Jesus go to teach this? The first place he went was the synagogues. I don't think we understand that. I don't think we pay too much attention to that. We just think, we always see the movies. And the movies, the only thing we ever see is that at one point he stands up, takes the Bible and reads Isaiah 61, which is wonderful because that is our scripture at Liberty Life Center. But that's the only thing they ever show in the movies. They don't show him going into synagogues. They don't show him teaching them. It doesn't show all of the places that he visited in the synagogues, and he stood up, and whatever he was teaching on it with the authority of heaven. I mean, it was shaking things up. You know what was shaking up? Wrong mindsets, because something was changing with the people of God. And Jesus had to take the authority of heaven and the kingdom of God and bring it from heaven and start talking to them in a different way so that they can understand this change is good for you. And he could only get through to them because he had the authority of heaven. And I got news for you. Something is shifting right now. And something is changing in this world right now. And the church is starting to become aware of, hey, there's something that the church has been missing. And we're not operating in the full authority of God. And so God is sending people out with words that carry authority, that are backed by all of heaven. And it's shaking people up. And the ones that want to hold to their tradition, they don't like it. Because they want to hold to their tradition. But he said he went around and he taught in the synagogues. And I don't know if he went back and he taught in the same synagogue a lot, or if he just went around. I don't know all of it. What I do know is this: the first time somebody hears something that has the power of God backing it, they may resist it. But when they see the effects of it, and when they see the results of it, and someone says it again, then all of a sudden their heart starts cracking open. And then another person comes along. And then they say it with the same type of authority. And people begin to go, hey, now something must be going on. Because all these people are saying things, and it's affecting me somehow. I don't know how it's affecting me, but it's changing me somehow. It's changing my thing. Maybe, just maybe, there's something to what they're saying. Maybe. When he came to his own country, you know, where they don't like you, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get this wisdom? Do you have the mind of Christ? You're smart then. You have wisdom then. We're just not operating in the fullness of it, but we can. But we can. Say, I can. Yep. And what about these mighty works? You see, when Jesus was operating in authority, it wasn't just because he spoke it out and changed the atmosphere, but he did. He spoke it out, he changed the atmosphere, and the atmosphere changed so much that miracles started happening under the sound of his voice. Now that is what the church is going to look like. God is coming after a church that is without spot or wrinkle. One that it has their tube open, their inner man is so connected with heaven that they don't care what anybody thinks about them anymore. They care about the person that's hurting. They care about the person that's lost. They care about the one that hasn't heard the truth before. And all they know is that they are a conduit from heaven to earth, and that they are able to act like Jesus did with the full power and authority that he deposited in us. And so they begin to operate on a different level, and people are going to respond, and they're going to be whole. And their motivation is not to have a big name. I said their motivation is not to have a big name. It's not even to have a mega church. It's not even about lights and cameras and action. It's about Holy Ghost. There is a person that needs to be sitting in this chair. I'm going to go find him and bring him. It's about this. It's like this little girl has migraines and she's not going to have them anymore. There's somebody who has something wrong with their leg and they're going to be healed because we don't have to live like this anymore. But somebody's got to rise up in the authority that God has given to us and realize who we really are. We are not beggars. We are not. We're living so far below what he has provided. And I want you to know he's provided it. We're so grateful. We're so grateful when we get healed. Oh, by the way, I am completely healed. Woo! And so... So did I love God the whole 9 months of torture? I did. And I will love him every day for the rest of my life. And though I don't understand why it wasn't healed at day one, I believe that he would heal me because by his stripes I am healed and now I'm healed. Satan. All right? So don't care about when it looks like it doesn't work. Have the authority and the knowledge from God that the kingdom is still working on your behalf. It'll come to pass. Okay. I forgot where I was. Okay. Jesus breaking down traditions. Do you think the church needs to break down some traditions? I mean, come on. Come on, we're so used to things the way they are. We like it. We're so comfortable. We're so comfortable. We like comfort. Come on. I mean, you know, I have a couch. It has all the things that go up. You know what I mean? Like, I never sit with my legs down. I don't have to. I have a couch. It has a button. Why would I sit in a couch without a button if I have a couch with a button? And if I'm in that couch, why wouldn't I use the button? Because it is going to make it better for me. Well, why are we sitting in a church and we're not pushing the power button that is available to us that will catapult us into the next realm? Yeah. I mean, take advantage of it. You know, we're not supposed to sit here in brown chairs and be happy that we get to see each other every Sunday, although we're happy to see you all. But we got a job to do, man. We got a kingdom to portray. We got a Savior that gave his life and he lives inside of us. Somebody needs to see it. They need to hear it and they need to become it. Hallelujah. So he went in the synagogues and he broke down traditions and he changed their mindsets. And many of them began to wonder, and many of the scribes and the Pharisees came to know him later as Lord and Savior because he shook their minds up. He proved that when he healed the blind man, they go, ugh. Like, I don't think they said this, but I'm going to say, holy cow, because they wouldn't say that. But they went, holy cow, no one has ever done that before. No one has ever healed the blind eyes before. Something must be going on. The ones that were so stuck in tradition wanted to prove him wrong and get rid of him. We don't have power like that. You know why people want to get rid of you when you start operating in power? Because they don't operate in it. Your very existence annoys them. But they don't have to stay there. They can come along and find out that they too can have the same power and authority to operate in. They just have to change their mind, but they will never change their mind until you change yours to agree with the power of God. I have the mind of Christ. You should be saying that every day. I have the mind of Christ. I can operate in his mind. Wow, his mind is pretty cool. And so... he didn't just talk. He brought mighty works with him. You know, signs and wonders will follow you. Well, that's the Bible. You know, signs and wonders are going to follow me. I mean, like, if I just love him and I believe what he's saying and I believe the authority he released and I believe that I can and I believe that all of his words are true and I believe that everything he said I could do, I actually can do, then it doesn't matter where I go. Signs and wonders are going to be like this. They're just going to be following it. And then when I come across the person who needs the sign and the wonder, I'm just going to pull them up front. Because they're accompanying me because I'm operating in kingdom. You understand? We don't have to work something up. We don't have to shikamo shai. I mean, you can pray in tongues because, I mean, we love it. I pray that you pray in tongues more than I. That's a lot. Paul said that. I'm in competition with Paul. I want to pray in tongues. Well, me and Farrell. We're in competition with Paul. See how much we can pray in tongues. Because it builds you up in your most holy faith. It makes you be more aware. Well, why do we have tongues? Because I'm aware of heaven that way. The kingdom becomes alive in me. I am not operating in my own senses anymore. I know heaven is real because I can't even make up these kinds of words. They change around on me because it's proof that I cannot do this on my own accord. And I like being attached to heaven. So excuse me if I pray in tongues, but I'm never going to stop. You can't take it away from me. I've already experienced it. You can't. There's no kind of tradition you can deal with me on. You cannot convince me. It's in the word and it's in my life. And he empowers me. Amen. Okay, so where else did he teach him? Well, he taught him outside the four walls of the synagogue. Is he our example? Was he showing us what the kingdom is like? So he didn't come in and say, okay, scribes and Pharisees, here's the shift, here's the change, here's what it's like, here's what the kingdom's like, here's what the Father's like, here's how to make the word come alive. I'll just open this up, I'll read it, and things are going to happen when I do it. He didn't just do it there. He went out of the four walls. He went beyond the synagogues. Mark 2:13, he went forth again by the seaside, and multitudes resorted to him, and he taught them. By now, word of him has gotten out. There is something different about this man. And so now he's out of the walls. He's going, and wherever he goes, they're going to follow him. Because why? He has the words of eternal life. He's not just talking about baseball or coming up with some funny thing to say to get their attention. He is walking around with the very power of heaven. And so they're hanging on every word he says and they follow him around. And guess what? He wants them to. He is outside the four walls on purpose. He's going outside proclaiming the truth so the truth can set them free. But we think it's a big deal if we come to church on a Sunday morning. Oh, we got to get up. I don't know. Oh, well, maybe I can be an hour late. And this is our praise that we have to God, that we offered him an hour of our time during the week. We should be up and going, oh, man, I have the kingdom of God living on the inside of me. Who needs it today? Where are you going to take me today so I can unleash the kingdom on somebody? I got something that everybody needs. I have a Savior that everybody needs to know about. I have an experience that they can have too. I'm not going to leave them the way they are. I'm going to interrupt the way that their traditions are. And I'm going to release something that they can't resist. Whew. Jesus didn't take a vacation from who he was. Jesus was Jesus everywhere he was. Jesus was the Son of God everywhere he was. He was operating kingdom truths everywhere he was. He didn't say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to slide over here with these people and I'm going to be really holy. This is what the kingdom looks like. Watch. People get healed. Then he slides over here around the people that, you know, he doesn't want to be embarrassed by. And he just lets things go, listens to their dirty jokes, lets them watch stuff that he is offended by. Jesus was Jesus everywhere he went. Why do you think signs and wonders accompanied him? Jesus was Jesus everywhere he went. He didn't pick and choose when he was going to let God out. Okay. Thank you. He went outside. He went to where the people were, and he released the truth, and he went to unacceptable people in unacceptable places. I love this about Jesus. Jesus is showing us the kingdom. Well, you know, well, where we go, we have to go to acceptable places. Really? I don't know how full of the Holy Ghost you are, but I mean, if you're full enough of the Holy Ghost, you can go anywhere and stay full of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not full enough of the Holy Ghost, stay out of those places because you're too weak to handle it. You got to be aware of where you are. You got to be aware. You got to be who God called you to be every day, wherever you are. And if you can't handle it, don't go there. But if you can handle it, God called. Listen, I am glad that I am called to South Florida. I am even glad I'm called to Davie. I am glad I am not called to Las Vegas. No, I don't even want to go there. But people are called there. And the people that are called there operate in the kingdom of God there. And they transform lives there because they're called there. And if they're called there, Jesus shows up when they show up. Amen? And he does amazing things through them. Okay, so he went outside the four walls and he went to unacceptable places with unacceptable people. So when Jesus came to the place, Luke 19:5, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. Zac was so cool. He climbed up a tree to see Jesus. Now, I don't know how many people who say they're lovers of God that could be walking down the street and they're so caught up in the crowds that they have around them, they don't take the time to let the Spirit take their eye to someone in a tree. How many people see people in a tree? He's only this big, evidently. He had to climb up a tree to see him. I'm just kidding. Okay, so he climbed up the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus sees him. And not only does he see him, do you know what Zacchaeus was? A tax collector. Who likes them? No one. Okay. And he said, today, I have to come and stay at your house. Oh, man, the people had a fit. This is not traditional. You do not go into their house. Zacchaeus, man, he made haste. He made haste and came down. He was like, boom. He probably just like fell. It'd be okay. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'm going to restore them fourfold. You know what happens when people come into authority and kingdom? You don't have to tell them they need to give. They go, oh my goodness, I've been robbing. I've been robbing people. I've been robbing God. I'm not only going to give back, I'm going to multiply it back. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to talk them into it. God is a giver. God is a lover and God is a giver. And when you get his nature, it's natural. You can't wait to give to somebody. The error of his ways, taken care of, changing his account, releasing the kingdom. Because Jesus took time with a person he wasn't supposed to take time with. All right. Okay. Same thing with Matthew. You know, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, which is Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom and said, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Don't be afraid of sinners. Be courageous about winning them. You're carrying You're carrying the authority of heaven around inside you. You've got the kingdom of God living inside you. Jesus lives inside of you if he is your Lord and Savior. Now, if he's just your Savior and you're hoping that you just are not going to go to hell because you have fire insurance, you're going to live just a little bit mediocre life. Oh, but when you realize, hey, Jesus came and he abides in me. I am one with Christ. I am one with him. He is one with me. I have something that I am saturated in, that I can operate out of. The very essence of heaven is mine. I better let some essence out for those who need some essence. And so he goes to them and he eats with the publicans and sinners. And of course they have a fit because he's doing it, because they don't understand it. They don't understand why somebody is trumping on tradition. They don't understand why we need to change. God says change. This year I took down all my pretty stuff off the walls. I hate blank walls, just so you all know. But he said, down to the foundation and I will rebuild it. Okay, never mind, Pharaohs. I don't like blank walls. They love my blank walls. Not totally blank. There's still a cross. There's still a flag. So God said, I have to wipe away things. I have to wipe away some things so that I can build something new and different. Do you understand that he's dealing with your life right now? He's taking you down. Well, I'm tired of change. Well, so am I. I'm tired of change. Nobody likes change. You might say you do, but you lie. Change causes us to have to operate in a different way. We have to think in a different way. We have to adjust to different surroundings. Change means we have to change. And we like to stay the same because we get in routines and we like our routines and it makes us feel comfortable with our routines. But God isn't into routine. He is into waking you up and shaking you up and shaking you down and sending you forth. That's what God is into. Representing him on heaven as heaven on earth. Okay, Jesus taught grace and truth, not law. I told you this, but I'm going to tell you the scripture for it. John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That grace is the divine influence upon our heart, the influence upon our life that enables us to do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. That grace that Jesus brought was the empowerment that you have access to, and you can walk in everything, and truth came through Jesus. What is the truth? Well, just open it up, go to the New Testament, and read red. Truth. Well, the whole Bible is truth, but if you want to know what Jesus has to say, read the red. Okay, so the woman caught in adultery. I'm going to maybe end with this. We'll see. You know the story. So it's early in the morning. Jesus is coming down again to the temple. The people came down, and so he's sitting with them, and he's talking with them. And the scribes and the Pharisees are all excited because they caught this woman in adultery. They're like, this is great. We're going to trip Jesus up. Because, you know, the law says she's got to die. We're going to see what he has to say about that. Because this is the law, and he's got to follow the law. And so they bring her in, and they throw her down. Because people who are stuck in the old are willing to do things that are not pleasing to God to try to convince you not to move forward. You know what happens to revivals? When there's a revival and someone gets a revelation, and then the next revelation comes, these people got a revelation that changed their life, and they are not joining your revival because they want to hold you to the thing that worked for them. And so they resist change. When in fact, God is bringing something and he's not trying to get rid of what he already did. God is amazingly good and he will just add to it. And that's what he's going to do. And this last time revival that we are going to experience here at Liberty Life Center is going to be a worldwide revival popping up everywhere with people who dare to let go of the old. Amen. Amen. And so they say, oh, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act of it. Now, Moses said, like, are you going to defy what Moses commanded us to do? That she had to be stoned. But what do you say? They said this, testing him, that they may have something to accuse him with. They are dirty dogs. But Jesus stooped down, and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't even hear them. He's like, really? Boom, 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 boom. Nobody knows what he said because the Bible doesn't tell us that. So we could just make stuff up. So most people say he was like exposing their sin. I don't know what he said. I don't even care what he said. He brought the kingdom and he brought the authority needed to get them to shut up and back off. There are mysteries of the kingdom that we will never understand, and yet we can operate in. Who knows what he said? He might have said, my father loves you too, fool. No, I don't know. Okay. So they continued asking him, and he raised himself up, and he said, okay, I already did this, didn't move you enough. So here, let me just say this. Which one of you don't have any sin? You can go ahead and throw the first stone. Go ahead. And he just stared at him with his piercing eyes of holiness that was piercing through them so that they could be very aware of how unable they are to throw the first stone because none of them were without sin. Because they couldn't be. He hadn't even made the sacrifice yet. Well, guess what happened? Their conscience was hurt, and they started dropping stones. Yay, God. And then he said to this woman, because he came to bring mercy and truth. He didn't just come to bring truth. He came to show us what the kingdom looks like. This person might deserve. That human trafficker might deserve. That murderer might deserve. Saul, might deserve. But the kingdom of God is higher. The kingdom of God looks at this woman caught in adultery and says, oh, I know exactly what you need. You need loved. You're acting that way because you don't know who you are. You're acting that way because nobody loved you righteously. You're acting that way because you're in need of a Savior. You're in need of a Father. You're in need of someone to contact you with something that is above the natural. So let me just say, woman, where are your accusers now? The freedom. The freedom of knowing that no one had an allegation that held in the presence of a mighty God. The accusation of the enemy that holds people in sin can be broken by the mercy of God being portrayed and demonstrated by someone who actually believes they have value. And they recognize that they're doing what they're doing because they haven't had opportunity to be properly loved. It transformed her life. There is nothing else she wanted after that but to follow him because he had words that flowed like rivers out of him. He had the ability to bring something that they had never experienced before and release the love of God with mercy and with grace, because he was going to change the whole world by his sacrifice for them. And he's giving them pieces, and he's displaying it for his disciples, and he's showing them how they need to live, and he's showing them how we need to display heaven on earth. He's showing them this is how you win them. It is the love of God that calls men to repentance. And he loved her to life. He loved her to life, and he changed her. And we have opportunity to do the same, but not if we don't spend time with him, because we leak. We sit in a service like today. We praise him with everything we've got. We feel his presence. We love him when we're praising him. We love you, we love you, we love you. And then we go home and somebody acts up and we pop them. Or we want to run that guy off the road because they don't know how to drive. And that's true. Or someone talks bad about you and you want to defend yourself. Oh, but he is your defense. The glory of God is your defense. And mercy has to flow from you. And when someone does something that they really, like especially the thing you really hate. Like, what if they have injustice in them and you hate it? You can hate the sin, but you better love that person. Because God gave his son for that person too. You can stand up for what is truth, but you don't have to do it mean. All of this ridiculous stuff that we are experiencing in governmental things, please do not get caught up in this. Vote for who you need to vote for. We will talk about that later. But I'm going to tell you something. Do not hate. Do not hate. God will not bless hate. You want to be blessed of God? Love. Love. It's just somebody crying out because they don't know who their father is. They're messed up. The world is messed up because they don't know who their father is. They don't know mercy. They don't know love like this. And so Jesus raised her up, and she said, Jesus says to her, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. He didn't say go ahead and then go back to that lifestyle, did he? You know why? Because love healed her. Love healed her. It set her free. She didn't have to live like that anymore. He's just saying, you don't have to do that anymore. I brought freedom to you. Where are your accusers? I'm not accusing you either. You don't have to live in sin. Don't do it anymore. Oh my goodness. And so then he says, I love this because the next verse, like here, all these people are around him. You know, this is not just her and him. It is her and him for her. But everybody's watching what he's going to do. And they're still there. And Jesus spoke to them saying this. I'm the light in the world. I'm the light. He who follows me, if you follow me, guess what? You're done with darkness. If you follow me, you're done with darkness. You're going to have something so much better. You're going to have the light of life. You're going to walk in holiness. You're going to, oh my God. You're going to have the light, the awareness, the essence of the presence of God living with you. Your life changes when you listen to what I'm saying. If you receive me as the light that I am, that I came to be, you're going to find out right after that cross and right after I'm resurrected, you're going to walk differently because you're going to walk as in the light of life. The essence of the love that I get from the Father every day is the essence that you can have of the Father every day. And you're going to walk like that. And you're going to talk like that. And you're going to love the unlovely. And you're going to change atmospheres. And you're going to do signs and wonders and miracles, because they're going to chase you down if you just love and receive what I'm doing for you. Stop being there, because I have more, but I don't have to do it. I think you get the point a little bit. Jesus came to display how we're supposed to live and how much higher that it is than what we're actually living in. Well, Pastor Don, you know, I keep coming down to the altar. I keep confessing my sin. I keep, you know, I want to do what's right. Okay, I believe you. I just know that there's another thing. Go and sin no more. There's just one more thing. You forgot. I don't accuse you. He's not accusing you. He's just offering you the conduit of change. Just go ahead. Get in my river. Just go ahead. Let me flow on the inside of you. It's not that he's taking away stuff you like. Sin, excuse my verbiage, sucks. There's no good in it. There's no benefit of sin. Sin will trip you up and take you to hell. Sin will make you do things you really don't want to do. You just have been convinced that you want to do. Sin is only fun for a season, and then it goes away. And then you're stuck in darkness, and you don't know how to get your way back. And if you don't know a holy person of God, you sometimes can't find your way back. If I didn't have an association with Reverend Angeli, I don't even know where I would be today. Because sin took me where I never wanted to go, to be what I never wanted to be and do what I never thought I was capable of. But then a righteous Savior rescued me and put me back on top and said, I will forgive you. I accuse you no more. Now be filled with the Holy Ghost and sin no more. And those were the exact words that Reverend Angeli said to me. Receive the Holy Ghost, which I did, and prayed in tongues for 3 days and three nights, and sin no more. How do you think I don't sin no more? Because I have the power of God flowing through me. Well, you mean you never sin? Come on now. I'll tell you what happens when I sin, though. I am very aware of it. And then Jesus goes, oh, here we go again. I am sorry. And you know why I'm sorry? Because I don't want to block the conduit. Because somebody else needs me. Somebody else needs me to stay strong. Somebody else needs me to show them love. Somebody else needs to be healed. Somebody else needs to be delivered. I want to be the conduit of God. It is what makes us all joyful. Because we're made in his very image and in his likeness to be like him. I want to be like him. Now, you say, well, it's just so much work. No, it ain't. Be quick to repent. Just be quick to repent. Esther used to tell me that all the time. She goes, why do you make such a big ado about this? So you made a mistake. You did something wrong. Be quick to repent, get right back on track with God, and determine not to do it again. What's the big deal, people? Just determine not to do it again. Don't get condemned and say, no, go, well, see what you did? You did it again, and you're never going to be able to not do it. And you, shut up, Satan. I have authority over your stupid self. I can live the way I want to live, and I choose God. I'm going to live a godly life because I'm in love with him. He's the best thing that ever happened to me, and he's the best thing that will ever happen for you, and he's still available. Amazing. And for eternity, we'll be, even when he comes to get us, and even when we're in heaven, we're going to be like going, what? Because we're going to be forever learning about his goodness and his kindness and his love, because there's no end to it. That's the God we serve. And this is your opportunity. Now, you know, we all have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to choose every day all the way through the day. We can be crabby. We can be happy. We can do what's right. We can do what's wrong. We can be mad or we could be joyful. We can choose Jesus or not. We can just set him on the side. Oh, yeah. Like they said, he doesn't want to be your side chick. He doesn't want to be your side chick. He wants to be him in your life. He wants heaven to be displayed through you. He wants you to have fun serving him. There is nothing more fun than Jesus. He's a lover. He's funny. People don't know. He is really funny. If you read the word, and you really read the word, he is hilarious. He says some of the most ridiculous things. He does the most ridiculous things. God is funny all through the word. You could have a good time with God. And then when you say, I want to be nothing except for what you want me to be, you have fun, because there is nothing more fun than to see children walk in truth. The Bible says that. There is no greater joy than that. And we have a whole bunch of spiritual children that are waiting on us to conform to his image and to his likeness and to be the light that they need shining in the darkness. And we are not going to let this generation go, or the next generation, or the generation above us either, because we're carrying authority. And we're carrying the substance of him. So now here's your challenge. Choose. You just got to keep choosing. Well, I chose last week. Good. How'd you do this week? You chose on Sunday, but how were you on Monday? Did you choose on Monday? Did you choose on Tuesday? Did you choose on Wednesday? Did you choose on Thursday? Did you choose on Friday? Oh, man, you're worn out by Friday. Did you choose on Saturday? Are you going to choose today? He's worth it. He's worth it. He has everything you need pertaining to your life. He has everything you need to act godly. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't. Just give up. You cannot do this on your own. Impossible. But with him, all things are possible, even living holy. How do I know that? Because he said, be holy as I am holy. And he wouldn't have said it if you couldn't do it. So everybody bow your heads. And now this is the deal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're all available. You can have as much of them as you want. Listen, I'm still working on it too. I want all of him to be displayed through all of me. And I'm not there yet, but I want to be. And so I choose today more of him and less of me. What does that mean? I don't know. He's going to ask me to do something or to not do something. I got to choose. And that's what you have to do too. So he's going to come. He's here right now. He said he's in the midst of our praise. He definitely is here today. And now we have to give him permission to show us what we need to adjust. You know, it's only hard until you're willing. The fight, the battle happens until you're willing to surrender. And in your surrender, he shows up fully. And then you find out it's what you wanted anyway. This is a stupid fight. So the Holy Ghost is here. And he is the convictor. He comes to highlight the things in your life that just need adjusting. I'm not calling you a bunch of sinners. I'm just saying hey, we got stuff that needs to be adjusted. You can choose to hold on to stuff, or you can choose to hold on to Him. Oh, and He's so much better. He's so much better. He's so much better. He's so much better. So just lay it out before Him. Just, hey, you know, Satan has accused me of this. Satan has tempted me with that. Satan has got me to engage in this. But you just showed up with words of eternal life. I recognize it. Don't want to live secondary anymore. I want to live in my God potential. I want to live with heaven being real to me. I want to be a conduit for you, God. I want to see all those people saved and healed and free. It's what you called me for. It's what gives joy and freedom to you. And now the choice is yours. You know, in the song, I Surrender All, it didn't mean I surrender part. It didn't mean I surrender 80% because I like the 20. I surrender all to Thee, my Lord and Savior. Because He has to be more than your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. And that takes a surrender. So I'm just going to pray this out. And then you can pray it on your own. You can pray it with me. I don't really care how you respond. I just hope and pray and believe that you're responding to mercy. Into truth. So Jesus, You have changed my thinking today. You are challenging me to live beyond where I've ever lived before. Understanding that I'm chosen to be a part of bringing Your kingdom alive on earth. Father, I love You. I love You. And I want Your name to be glorified on this earth. I want people to know You for the good Father that You are. I want them to understand Your sacrifice of giving Your Son. I want them to honor that, Lord. I want to honor that. Jesus, I want You fully in me. I want all of You. I want You abiding in my thoughts and my actions and my deeds. I crave all that You promised me. And I'm going to work at receiving all. I'm going to lay down my useless efforts and receive what You have brought me. I want righteousness in my life. I want to live different than the world. I want to be the difference. And Holy Ghost, thanks. Thanks for being willing to come and be our teacher and our guide, our counselor, and the one who reveals Jesus. Thank You for Your convicting power and whatever is in me that doesn't please the Godhead. I am willing to see it, and I'm willing to let go of it. And I'm willing to let the blood cover it. just receive it. If you prayed that prayer, just receive. You know, Jesus doesn't condemn you. Just go and sin no more. That's all. It's the same story. It's the same life. But she followed him. Now you just got to follow him.
Sa serio ti ho brutto ieri di razzo da via sai Has helped you and what he's going to do for you in the future.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so these are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we love them. So if anybody else has a prophecy for them, come on. You people are all scaredy. I don't understand. Who are you? I raised you right. We know how to hear from God. I raised you. You got anything about a tenderized heart? Okay, I'll prophesy. I can always prophesy. I wish somebody would join me, though. Okay, thank you. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And the Lord says, this is a journey that you have been on, and it has been like tumbleweeds. It has been the ups and the downs and the all arounds. And the Lord said the enemy had formed a weapon that he was going to take you completely out with. And yet I rescued you. And he said, I want to remind you about my faithfulness to you because of your faithfulness to me. And the Lord says, in your heart of hearts, both of you, want people to be changed. You want them to know me as you do. You've given your life's blood, your mind, your energy, your finances to the building of the kingdom. And the Lord said, this is not a new message to you, but this is a revived message to you, because now this is about you. This is about the kingdom that I have placed deep on the inside of you. This is about kingdom realities that you, plumbing, have been given the ability to speak forth in eloquence and in power. And the Lord says, I've given you a spoken word. It's not a copy of anyone else. You are individually called with individual gifts, with individual abilities that I have imparted to you. And these bombardments of the enemy are coming to an end. And the Lord says, you will rise up and you will speak under my authority and under my power, and you will call them as dead. For I'm about ready to spring life in the things that look like they are over. And I am going to bring back joy in the journey. I'm going to bring back promises to come alive again. And Debbie, promises to come alive again. Not working at the promises, not trying to get God to stay with his promises, but understanding you are serving an almighty, all loving, all caring, and all powerful God. And my hand is not short to save. And I will save this situation, and I will turn this situation around, and I will have my glory all over it. And the Lord says, the enemy is about ready to lose. He is going to have to, he's going to have to turn over his weapons. I see him with the understanding that this is going to happen, and he is afraid. But he will lay down his weapons and he will flee. And so I break the territorial spirit that has been unleashed against you to try to get you not to be able to expand how you're supposed to expand. That territorial a spirit that has attached to you and to your family, it is broken in the name of... Things are shaking in the heavenlies. Angels are being released. And things will be turning around for my glory. For my glory. And you will be a bridge to many. You will be a bridge to many, making way for them to experience the glory of your God. Lord says, all those connections that you've made and all those connections that you are making, they are by my design. And I am weaving in and out of all the things, and I am tightening things up. He's just like, he's making this beautiful tapestry, and so he's got all of the threads, and now he's pulling them together like a corset. He's pulling it all together so that it will be strong, and it will be firm, and it will be able to stand through the wind and the fire. And the Lord says, the revival that I have planned, I didn't leave you out of it. I'm inviting you into it, to be a forerunner of it. And I am renewing your strength, renewing your hope, renewing your faith,
renewing you, and the former glory will be nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed through you now. And joy is coming back. Joy is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah.
Everybody wants that word? You can take it, too. All right. You have something? And you have something. Okay, go ahead.
So no more, says the Lord. He's for you, but God, right? And he says that you're here today for a purpose. And there was a refreshing. This refreshing in the presence of God was for you. He says, soak it up and take it with you. It's yours. His heart is so for you, too. For everything that you have seen, everything that he's put in your eyes, he's going to come and bring it to pass. Your time is not up. Your time is now.
Amen. This is my grandson who just got further on fire.
So, I was praying, and God was talking to me, and he said, you're limitless to show other people to what I have for you. And he said, you will lead people to me with great power, and that they will turn over.
So, Father, we love you. We love you the most. You love us the most. And you love them the most. I did it backwards today. Okay. All right. I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? And who loves them the most? Okay. You can finally go eat.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.